Is there a bird feeder hanging in your backyard? Do you have some special feathered friends who'll come up and eat right out of your hand? Even though the experts say we shouldn't feed wild birds, about half of Australian households do. But we might need to put backyard bird feeding on hold for a bit, or at least change the way we do it, because there's a risk it could be a hotspot for bird flu transmission. More on that in a moment. You'll also hear what other practical things you can do to help. But I'm very keen to hear who comes to visit your bird feeder. Have you formed a special relationship with the birds you feed? Tell me about the birds that visit your backyard. And here with me to chat about it is Daryl Jones. He's an urban ecologist and Professor Emeritus at Griffith University. He's also a real bird guy. He once live streamed his bird feeder. And Ewan Ritchie is a Professor of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation at Deakin University and a member of the Biodiversity Council. Daryl, Ewan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much.
Good morning.
We will get into bird flu in a tick, but I have to know about the birds in your backyard. Daryl, what birds visit you?
Well, this is a big topic, because if we're talking about the birds in my backyard featured in my feeder, that was when I lived in Brisbane. I now live in the middle of Melbourne, which is very different altogether.
Okay.
The birds that I would have got in my place in Brisbane would have started with rainbow lorikeets instantly, and then followed by pale-headed redellas, who didn't get a chance when those big bullies were in the place. And if I'm lucky, king parrots and eastern redellas as well.
Eastern redellas, don't get me started singing. Ewan, how about your feeder? Or do you have one?
I don't have a bird feeder. I do put water out for wildlife, including birds, but also other animals as well. But I don't currently have a bird feeder out.
Who visits your backyard?
All sorts of wonderful wildlife. I also live in Melbourne too, and we're lucky enough to have gang cockatoos, king parrots, yellow-tailed black cockatoos in our street, which is not too bad for the birds of Melbourne.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. My backyard is home to many, many, many king parrots. The first couple that you see are beautiful. When there's about five or six or seven of them, it starts to feel a bit like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. So, Daryl, you've written an article sort of highlighting the risk of feeding birds in our backyard. What are your concerns?
Yeah, this is a really serious issue, and it's really hard, isn't it? Because I used to be in the anti-feeding brigade. I would have told everybody that you're silly to feed the birds, and they'd all die of starvation when you stopped, and all those sorts of myths. It's not true. What we're concerned about is the fact that we do something really unnatural. We concentrate all a bunch of birds coming to one place every day. Like if you put our food on a tray or something, the birds will come and feed on it every day because it'll be regular. And that's very unusual in the bird world, because once they've used up all the seeds in the one patch or the fruit on the tree or whatever, they fly on to the next place. Whereas we've said, no, you don't need to do that anymore. You can come to this location singly, a single location every day, and lots of birds. And if any of them, it doesn't matter whether they've got bird flu, if any of them are sick, this is the perfect place for them to spread. So our advice now is to, how can we minimise the contact between the birds? Going back to the COVID days, remember what we had to keep away from one another, because that was the simplest way to do it.
You're worried that a bird feeder could be like a super spreader event.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the problem. I mean, it's you don't have to, you can imagine how it would happen. These birds come and squabble over the seeds that we've put down or something. And if any of them are sick, this is the perfect place for them to spread it. And that's what we're trying to prevent people from doing. So although I have been now advocating how to feed birds properly with all the right sort of food and all that sort of thing, I'm now saying, please, just at the moment, let's not do it again. If you care about the birds, and we now know that many of the people out there who do feed the birds do really care about them, the best way to care about them, stop feeding if you can.
Ewan, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, it's great that people have this wonderful connection with our extraordinary birds in Australia, but there are very few things that we can do right now, unfortunately, to keep wildlife safe from bird flu. But this is something practical that we can do. So I think, unfortunately, stopping bird feeding right now is a really sensible piece of advice.
Yeah, it's pretty sad if that's something that's part of your routine. Talk to me about what the sort of, we've had a couple of significant developments over the past week with bird flu, Ewan.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, we've now seen obviously bird flu spread into mammals, long-nosed fur seals. And we know from around the world that when bird flu gets into marine mammals, the impacts can be devastating. So we saw over 13,000 elephant seal pups die last summer in Heard Island. And that is just a catastrophic loss of numbers for any wildlife population. And that will have long-term impacts as well on their genetics and therefore their ability to withstand other threats and challenges that they might have in the future. So we've seen obviously over 300 cases now of bird flu in Australia, and that spreads from Western Australia right across the bottom of Southern Australia and up as far as Queensland. And in fact, there was a shearwater that was found with bird flu yesterday, which is a wide-ranging species that often occurs in large numbers. And so that's quite concerning that it's now appearing to pop up in shearwaters. And it's also moving inland. So there's reports of bird flu, you know, around the Murray River region and Mildura and those areas. So we would expect that bird flu is going to spread. And unfortunately, of course, as many of us know, we're coming into spring when many animals, including birds, often congregate to breed. And when we see large numbers of animals congregating, that means disease can spread more easily. So we're really concerned about what the next few months might hold for Australia's wildlife.
And the mammal death that we saw, the long-nosed fur seal in South Australia, how significant is that?
It's really significant. Obviously, it's tragic for one individual when they die, but of course what we're most concerned about is population level effects. And in particular in South Australia, we have the Australian sea lion, which is an endangered species. We think there's about 12,000 individuals left in total. And there's been a large outbreak of bird flu around Kangaroo Island, mm-hmm. and the pages, as they're called. And that is a significant breeding area for this species. And if that got into the Australian sea lion population and we saw the sort of, you know, numbers of deaths that we've seen for other marine mammal populations, that could absolutely drive this species towards extinction.
Yeah, really worrying. You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm talking to Ewan Ritchie, who's a Professor of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation at Deakin University, and Professor Emeritus Daryl Jones from Griffith University. We're talking about backyard bird feeders, what you probably think of as being a fairly wholesome and nice thing to do, but the risk of them being super spreader spots for bird flu, which is now spreading in Australia. I'm really interested to know about the birds that you love in your backyard, if you've got names for them, if you've got photos of them. One says, I have two king parrots who visit Prince and Princess. Another says, Deb says, bell birds have invaded my backyard and have pushed out all the smaller ones that I love. Even the bigger birds get mobbed and hounded away. Tried a super soaker attack. I don't know how to get rid of them. Daryl, any advice for Deb there?
This is a little bit outside my realm, getting rid of them. I don't want to get rid of them. Yeah. But what, Life Matters is all about relationships. And I can just imagine all the people out there now who are going to be, it's a good news story, actually. All the people out there who have got magpie families, every second person I meet who knows what I do tells me about their magpies, how they come and bring their kids each year and all that sort of thing. The good news for them is they're the sorts of birds that probably won't get affected by this because they are so territorial that they keep everybody else away and they don't want to mix with anybody else. It's the birds that mix freely with each other, those that occur and breed often, as Ewan just said, in these big colonies, they're the ones we're really worried about. For some reason, I don't know really why. Do you know about this, Ewan, that we're really worried, the authorities are really worried about black swans because they seem to be particularly susceptible. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, that's right. From what I understand about black swans, information about their genetics and their immune function suggests that they don't have the same, resilience that other swan species have. And so right. There has been some work that's done before the arrival of bird flu in Australia, and black swans have been identified as a species that's at really high risk.
So On the text line, a couple of people are asking, and I might put this one to you, Ewan, because you said you put out water for wildlife. Yeah. People asking about bird baths, whether they are also dangerous.
Look, they are potentially, and Daryl has done a great job online, including through the Biodiversity Council, putting out great advice about how to reduce the risk. And essentially, just like with bird feeding, we don't recommend bird feeding, but water is really important, and we're coming into summer. And so animals do need water in our environment. And so the best thing we can do, of course, is just to make sure that those areas are kept really clean. And ideally, if you had more than one water dish. So whenever you're having large numbers of animals congregating in the one spot, that's more of a risk. Whereas if you have the luxury, you know, where your home is, to have several, you know, bird baths and areas of water for animals, that means that you're not having them all coming to the one location at the one time. And the other thing, of course, is to make sure that water is available at ground level for things like skinks, as well as, you know, above ground for many birds that might not want to come down to the ground and where they might be more vulnerable to things like feral cats or cats that are allowed to roam. So if we keep those water dishes clean, the risk is relatively low. So I think, you know, we don't want to discourage people putting out water for birds and wildlife over summer, because we think we're coming into a really nasty El Nino this year as well. And so I imagine water is going to be really important for species.
Well, Daryl Ewan, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom today. Ewan Ritchie, Professor of Wildlife Ecology and Conservation at Deakin University, a member of the Biodiversity Council, and Daryl Jones, Urban Ecologist and Professor Emeritus at Griffith University. And thank you for telling me about your birds. One says, I put out a bird bath on my tiny Melbourne CBD balcony. Pigeons, of course, they're cute and smart, but also a passing wattlebird, ravens, this weekend a pair of currawongs. I put out some nesting material and saw the currawongs rummaging through and breaking some of the sticks to take away. And another says, at the moment I'm watching a large mob of fat female bowerbirds feeding. Two eagles out my kitchen window in the gorge, floating in the drifts. I'm lucky to be surrounded by the most beautiful country in Neyengala and never feel a need to feed the native wildlife. Watch, but don't touch. It's Life Matters on ABC Radio National.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.